for the end zone, and Jefferson, touchdown Minnesota.
There is McCaffrey, right side, breaks the tackle, good shooting move, gets it.
Were you concerned then, Jack? I just, midway through that video as it was on, I was just like, do you know what? I need a drink before this show starts. So I thought, I'll go and get a Pepsi Max. And I was like, part of me was thinking, should I just stay over here and the video goes off and just see how Jack reacts when I'm not there to introduce week five show.
But when you said you were going to get a drink, I thought you might be going to get a beer or something. You had enough of that on Sunday, didn't
not,
you?
No way. No, plenty of that over the weekend. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know. And welcome back, listeners, viewers, to week five of the show. A bit of an unorthodox introduction there. This past weekend, Wembley. We had the Wembley game, Jags and Falcons. What an experience that was. Like, I will probably never say never, but, you know, like, to win something like that, and, you know, you even when you win contests like that, there's not always going to be box tickets up for grabs, and to win tickets to a corporate box at Wembley, just unbelievable. Like, I'm walking down the corridor, and our box couldn't have been further away from the entrance, so did the whole loop of Wembley, basically, to get to the box. And as I'm walking past, there's like people, like concierge people, stood outside of each individual box, and they're like good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir. And I was just like, it must be someone else around here. Like, that's, I don't think
you're like, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. they already knew that. But yeah, just like got in the box, two Welsh fellas, the Ryder Cup was on. Which was a plus, because I thought I was going to miss that, and I managed to see almost all of that, other than when we went out and the game started. And one of the two Welsh fellas, I think it was his son and his dad, and the son apparently filled in for me on a 5-yard rush DFS show a couple of years back, which I vaguely remember.
Someone filling in for you, Nick. That's not like you not to turn up to a show, you know.
It's nice. Like, I'm ever present these days. These days I am on this show. I am literally every week.
I've got you in line. That's what it is. Yeah.
It's, do you know what it is? I just don't want to see that video every week that you post and I don't turn up. It hurts that. No, unbelievable. Like, all you can drink, like, complimentary, so the Coronas were flowing. Half 11 we could go in, half 6 we got turfed out, carried on drinking afterwards, because as you do. And the food was unbelievable as well. That's probably the only reason I didn't die, was the food. I did drink for me, I've not took that much beer away in a long time, because
I can confirm, if you was with me, you would have died. So I'm just,
yeah, I would. I usually begin on beer and move on to JD and Coke is normally my go-to drink, and like, I can drink that all night. I will happily just knock that back all night, but beer normally just, I'm like, nah. I'm like 4 or 5 pints, I'm like, this is bloating this now. But them Coronas were just flying down. But yeah, unbelievable experience, and played the showdown game as well. Made a silly mistake in doubting my lineup and picking what ended up being the more popular play in Ridley rather than playing Kirk. And Ridley's not really been on it this year.
He had that game, that week one breakout, didn't he? And then he's gone a bit quiet since.
And I don't, you know, he's probably attracting cornerback one. And yeah, I just went Ridley. He had the touchdown, but aside from that, really poor. All the volume went to Kirk. And in fairness, Lawrence and Kirk are more accustomed to each other.
Yep.
He probably is more of a go-to receiver for him at this stage. So I had that thought in mind, and Kirk was cheaper, would have let me do a lot more in my lineup. And instead, I went with Ridley and paid the price, because I also played the Jags D, and very few in the contest that I was in played it. I think it was only 11% owned, maybe.
Yep.
But it wasn't a massive contest what I played, so it didn't equate to a lot of people. Jags D balled out, pick six, several sacks as well. I think a fumble recovery. They scored pure points, so it was just that process of not selecting the right captain, and what that would have allowed me to do elsewhere in the lineup as well is probably fit someone else in who might have, you know, like, I've not reviewed the lineup in full because it didn't cash, and I was like, nah, do you know what? I've messed up. But then went on another mistake on Monday, Jack, and was thinking, do you know what? I fancy the Seahawks in this game because the Giants, let's be honest, garbage.
Yep.
And I'm thinking,
tell me about it.
You know what? Just play the Seahawks defense. If you've learned anything from the other day with the Jags, play a defense, because they'll probably go lower up. And if the defense is on it, they can put up a big score. And I didn't play the defense. I played the kicker. And what happened?
Well, I built 5-1 lineups for that on the Seattle side. I in both cash and GPPs, I cashed in both. I had the defense in both lineups. So that was how I didn't have them in the captain spot, which was unfortunate for GPPs. But it was a good week overall. I had a very, very good week. Yet again, my highest scoring lineup on DK was 177 points. That just obliterated most of the tournaments I was in, cash lineups and things like that. So had a good week there. Finished third in the high roller of the Nat Coombs show, which is nearly took it down back to back. I also cashed in Fantasy Game Day app. First go on there. We will get into that a little bit later in the show. We're going to compare my lineup to the winning lineup. I come seventh in it. Seventh I come in it. But it's a little bit different to DK, the format, etc. But we'll get into that on the when we get to that. But Nick, I think it's a good starting point tonight with Showdown, as you've mentioned there, and the state of the Sims situation, which is something I've been keeping a closer eye on as of late. I now have come to the conclusion that the Millie Maker Showdown contest are absolutely pointless in playing if you're not entering 150 lineups. And this is not me moaning, because I'm one of these people. I've worked for a DFS company. I get fed up with people saying that you can't take down GPPs with one entry. Believe me, you can. I've done it. It's not impossible to do. However, Showdown, because it's a limited player pool for starters, and now we've got these Sims everywhere. I mean, they've all got them. Like, every single one of these bigger companies, big DFS companies, sorry, have got these Sims that are simulating the game like 10,000 times, blah, 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 blah. I've done some research, gone back over the Millie Maker Showdowns for the whole of the year. So the Monday night game, Nick, that you were just mentioning, there was 31 dupes in that mini maker contest, and I didn't think when I saw the defense in that game was optimal in the captain spot. When the defense is normally optimal, people don't normally get to it. I thought it might still be duped because of the Sims and things like that, but 31 times it was duped. I was shocked, really. As I said, I've gone back over every showdown contest in the Millie Maker this year. Not one has been won by one person outright. They've all been duped. And there was one in week two on the Monday night game where only two people shared the Millie at the top. Now, these people that are obviously winning the Millie contest, even when there's 31 dupes, for example, they're not winning a lot of money. They are still winning a lot of money. But if you're going in there with the mindset that how we play, for example, me and Nick, we're free max most of the time, that's it, you know. It's not impossible to win. It's not impossible to get that dupe. But the Sims, for me, have made it pointless in me playing that contest anymore. Because there's no way I can get to a lineup that would not be duped because of the Sims.
Yeah, and like we've spoke about it in this week, haven't we? And I know you said like that because of what is available now and what it's doing, it's basically just kind of like it's just killing showdown off, really. Unless you're going to play a single entry showdown or a low entry, like you just said. I'm to be honest that like I feel exactly the same about it. In fact, when I'm playing showdown now, I'm often just playing like single entry, trying to win tickets on showdown for the Millie or like puck drop or something like that, because the NHL season is just around the corner, so trying to win a couple of tickets for that. Like it's just, I agree with you. When you look, like you need literally like the stars to align, and even if they do, there's a chance that a lot of other people's stars have aligned as well.
And
I think for me, the way I'm going to be playing it going forward, if I've learned anything this past week, it is just stick to your initial thought and don't try and get too clever with it, and don't be distracted also by the fact that you can afford to put a player that's a bit more expensive in your captain spot or something like that. Like if that wasn't initially your thought on captain, then just don't do it. Don't let the budget dictate who you pick. And the other thing being, you know, like if you are going to put, you know, like if there's a way that you think the game's going to go without reading too much into the script of the game, as we said before, if you think that one team's going to come out on top and there's a chance that they could keep them low score, play the defense. Because certainly in the showdowns that I entered over the weekend, they did tend to be a little bit lower owned compared to some of the others. But yeah, I'm with you, Jack. I'm literally showdowns now. I'm playing single entry.
I think that's the only thing you can do, really, is if you play like us, you play the single entry, you play the free max, play your cash, you double up and things like that. But unless you're going to enter 150 lineups into that Mini Maker contest now, just because Showdown is a limited player pool, like for me, this doesn't affect the Mini Maker main slate contest at all, because there's a massive player pool to choose from. But on Showdown, you've got a limited player pool. If you're not entering 150 into that contest, it's absolutely pointless in playing them.
Yeah.
In my opinion. There's just no path for you. You could get as different as you want to get different. There is no path for you to get a lineup that won't be duped.
I'm almost even at that point with the normal Millie, Jack. Like, the normal Millie's different because you've got a bigger player pool to play with. But unless I win a ticket to the Millie, I'm a little bit reluctant to just enter it when I know that so many other people can max enter that contest and literally dwarf, absolutely dwarf my entrance. What is the Millie? Is the Millie 150 lineups max that you can put in the Millie?
Yeah, but I mean,
I get that side of it. And I'm not saying I'm against the Millie, because I understand that to win something like that, you can literally pick a unique lineup that no one else would have. Yeah. But what the point I was trying to make is what I might spend on a Millie ticket. If I win tickets to it, great. And those contests to win those tickets, the low entry fee contests that have a smaller field, though it doesn't help when DraftKings don't award assists when players actually get them.
They will, don't worry.
What I was going to say is, given that I tend to play either single entry or, like you said, max three, just use those funds to enter contests that might be of a similar kind of entry fee, where the field's a little bit smaller, you can build your lineup a little bit different, you don't have to maybe get as unique, a little bit unique. That's where I'm kind of thinking to go with it. And like I said, if I win a ticket to the Millie, great, you know, you can still build a really unique lineup in the Millie that no one will duplicate. We've seen that practically every week, I think.
I will always play it just because like, you know, that one chance that you can do it. I fully expect to lose the $20 that I put into it. It is what it is. But I would always play the showdown ones as well. I'm not playing them anymore because the Sims, and it's the Sims that are doing it. I've killed it.
Yeah. Sad state of affairs.
We will speak to Dad about it when he comes back.
We will.
From sunning himself.
That must be gutting for you as well, Jack, because I know Showdown was like your favourite form of playing it. And now it's like, it's taken that away from it.
It is my favourite form of playing it because I'm a hand builder. And as I say, before these Sims come into play, I felt I had a bit of an advantage in there because people were still using, you know, like optimizers and things like that to get their like 150 lineups, like Fantasy Cruncher and things like that. So I always thought I had a bit of an advantage going in there hand building because I could think differently and outside the box to what these optimizers and things would do. But now you can't because these Sims will also think outside the box. So, and they'll find that lineup that you found. And like I say, on Monday night, 31 teams shared that $1 million prize pool. I know it's still a lot of money, but it's killing Showdown.
It's a lot of money, and you sounds daft saying this, but you'd kind of feel aggrieved if you won it, like,
yeah,
just because of the fact that 31 others have won it as well.
But I know, like someone I respect, I quite respect Tambo, Tyler Tambourine. For people who don't know on Twitter, and he won the Millie contest showdown on Thursday, the Thursday night game, which was the Lions and the Packers, and he had the David Montgomery captain spot there. But that was just—I mean, he ended up winning $10,000. I say only $10,000, but you'd just be gutted, wouldn't you? Like, you've got the optimal lineup and you've got it in that contest, and now you've got to share it with like 100 different people.
Yeah, I know. You've just mentioned David Montgomery there, and it's just like that really wound me up. That, to be honest, to wake up and see that, it really wound me up that earlier in the day the reports were that he wasn't even going to suit up, and then he suits up and goes and does that. Just,
they just hate Jamal Gibbs.
Like we've said every week, like, look at how they played last season. Like, any different?
Yeah, no, exactly. And Jamal Gibbs is useless in pass protection. And, you know, I've people can, oh, it doesn't matter for fantasy. Well, it does, because it's what ultimately gets them on the field. And I will always go back to this one, because this is the first thing I said about this player when they come out of college, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that he couldn't pass protect. Look what Clyde Edwards-Helaire does now. Not a lot. And he's been like that most of his career. He's not exactly done a lot. Again, Jamal Gibbs is a rookie. This is certainly something you can learn and improve on. But ultimately, if you can't do it, it won't get you on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we got wind of a new kid on the block. Last week it was Jack. Last week was the first week we found out about that. Yeah.
Well, I've known about him for 2 weeks. I didn't get a lineup in the first week because there's a 5 p.m. deadline, which I didn't realise. And it got to 5:30, and that's when I kind of sort of finalised everything. And I'd missed the deadline, unfortunately. But, like you say, they are kind of a new kid on the block, and I got a lineup in last week. So for anyone that doesn't know, I don't know if you want to pull up the teams, Nick, and then our... this is the teams from last week, but for anyone that doesn't know, there's a new app out there called Fantasy Game Day app. The UK guys only. They really mean well. They want to improve the community, grow the community, etc., etc. Really nice guys. I've had a chat with Gurmit, who works for them. Very nice guy. £7.50 per user to enter, per lineup, sorry, to enter into this app. There's 5 entries max, which is quite nice. You know, you've not got people coming in here putting 150 lineups, so you know it's quite an appealing thing to do. The top 20 win a percentage of the prize pool each week, and then there is that 5 p.m. deadline that I mentioned for UK guys. So yeah, just do not forget that, because I forgot it in week one and missed out. Scoring is basic PPR scoring, all normal stuff. You know, your 4 points for a touchdown, your -2 for an interception, etc., etc. Your team construction here, very different to DraftKings. So you've got a £40,000 budget. You've got 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, 1 tight end, and 1 flex spot. The flex spot can be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. And then you've also got a captain option, and the captain, like in showdown contests on DraftKings, but here, like, they get 1.5 on DraftKings. On here, they get double their points. The captain has to be a non-quarterback. You can't be putting in a quarterback in the captain spot. But they all come within your £40,000 budget. You can't captain a player that you've got in another position. The captain has to be someone completely different. And we got 2 lineups here. We got my lineup on the right, and the winning lineup on the left. I managed to cash, like I mentioned. I come 7th last week in this contest. And yeah, thanks to CMC. I mean, you needed him. He was 100. You know, I locked him in, Nick, 100% last week on everything.
On the DraftKings slate as well.
Yeah, on everything. I 100% CMC last week.
He's becoming one of them kind of players where if you don't own him, like you ain't winning. Like he's almost becoming like a bit like, do you remember last season, Jack, we played a bit of like soccer DFS and stuff like that. I'm saying soccer, I absolutely hate myself for even just saying that. Well, that's what it's called on DraftKings, soccer. And we played a bit of that last year. If you didn't have Haaland, like most weeks you were really going to struggle to cash. And even though he was highly owned, like that was pretty much the reason. Kind of feels a bit like McCaffrey's going down that route as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was such a good play last week. Elijah Mitchell was out, so there was literally no competition for him. Debo Samuel was banged up as well, so and they literally just used Debo Samuel as a decoy last week, so it's absolutely brilliant. CMC just went nuts. But yeah, let's take a look at the lineups. Let's take a look at mine on the right here. So I captained CMC, 97.40 points. Have a day.
Interestingly, Jack, as well, with this, because this is like a bit of a mics between like a normal standard classic kind of contest. And like you said, because the captain's in there as well, which can't be a quarterback, but can be a running back, wide receiver or tight end. Yep. And because you score two times points, like I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, if it's double points, like where in other formats, you might think like you kind of want to avoid the most expensive players on the slate sometimes because you can't hit value. Because you're getting double points, it kind of feels like you can pretty much hit value every week with the most expensive player that's going to be on the slate, providing, you know, providing the you know, they return a reasonable score. Like McCaffrey this week scores 40-odd points. I mean, that's just silly. But like you said, if you didn't have McCaffrey in your captain spot this past week, you weren't getting anywhere remotely near the cash, because them double points make a massive difference.
Oh yeah, no, most definitely. And look, you know, this is where my showdown skill could probably work in my favour on this app, which I actually quite like the captain spot. Actually, I was a bit skeptical at first. I saw it, I was like, oh, and then obviously it's kind of worked out for me. I thought about it, and you know, my thought process around CMC, I've just mentioned it there. Mitchell was out, Debo Samuel was banged up, and I was just like, okay, he's got a very clear path. I know he's got no competition in his backfield and no San Francisco. All they want to do is run it down your throats, and they're playing one of the worst teams in the NFL. So it paid off massively. And you know, that's just your game theory again. We go back to that all the time, thinking about things like that. But yes, so the rest of the lineup, I did a bit of a stack here. So I the double up stack with Justin Herbert, Kelly, and Keenan Allen. I am not playing Josh Kelly anymore. I've just refused to play him. I think he's just a very bad running back. That was the last straw this week. I mean, Kyron Williams, that guy. Like, again, it's the same thing with CMC, the game theory on that. No one is competing with him in that backfield. He's getting 100% of the snaps most weeks. It was, again, him and CMC, I locked in every single DFS lineup I had this week. It was so easy to do it.
Do you know what? On the drive down to London, I was building a lineup for the, I don't know if it was my Millie lineup. And initially, I ended up with Brock Purdy at quarterback. But initially, I was saying to my mate who I was driving down with, I was like, Matt Stafford looks a bit underpriced there. Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams, big old stack, because Nacua was seeing all the targets and did again this week. Yep. The game theory behind Williams was the Rams always do better. They've got a much better record. I saw a stat last week where I think when they run the ball 25 plus times, they've got a record under McVay of like, it's like 14-1 or 14-2 or something like that. And then each 5 yards you knock off it, it gets more towards like 8-8. And then you kind of like when they're running it less than 15 times, they lose so many games doing it that way. And they did exactly the same last week. They're running the ball really well, efficiently. 4.2 yards a carry is absolutely fine. They move away from the run game, they lose last week. This week, they run the ball right out of the blocks, and lo and behold, they win. Now, granted, that game was close, but game theory-wise, because of all the heat, I think, that has been on McVay this week about not running the football and why did you move away from something that was working, Kyron Williams was always going to get touches this week. Like it, and in the end, I took him out, and it was the stupidest thing I did at the weekend.
Mate, I locked, like I said, I locked CMC in lineups, I locked Williams in lineups, and I locked Puka in lineups. All three of them were in every single DFS lineup I had this week. It was just, you know, that's just game for it. Look, people need, this is what we preach every week. You need to think what you're doing. You need to think what these teams are doing and what they want to do. If the team, like the Chargers, I've got the Chargers stack on my fantasy game day app team here. I know the Chargers want to throw the ball. The Josh Kelly play was probably a bad play, thinking about it, because I should know that they want to throw the ball. And yeah, I think going back to it now, it was a bad play. Keenan Allen was fine. Justin Herbert was fine. I had the mini game stat there with Diggs and Waddle. The Dolphins just didn't show up in that game, which was unfortunate. Waddle come in a bit banged up, but he's still done okay. I mean, Diggs, again, like McCaffrey, nuked the slate, had an awesome performance. And then I had Pat Freiermuth, who had a real chance to do well in that game, but he got injured. I mean, an injury is an injury. It is what it is, you know, like you can't predict injuries. So, yeah, let's compare it to the winning lineup, Nick. And it's a little bit different. There's a few bits and pieces that are the same. Obviously, we've got the same captain. We've got Stefon Diggs in there, which is the same. But then the rest of it's a lot different. I mean, the A-chain thing, I was a bit wary of that. I didn't want to go back to that in any spot last week, to be fair.
I didn't play him anywhere.
But I think that's something you have to monitor going forward with that, because he seems the one that they're going to use when they're down in games. And then Mostert is going to be the other guy that they use when they're up in games. So need to kind of monitor that situation going forward. Jalen Hurts, fine pick. I mean, he's stacked in there with AJ Brown. So we can see the stacking definitely works. You've got both these two lineups where there's been stacking involved. So I like that going forward. Something to monitor, keep doing when I'm playing this game. I mean, it's a big old Bills Dolphins stack there, isn't it?
Yeah,
A-Chain, Kirk and Diggs.
An interesting stack as well, because he's stacked running back, wide receiver.
He's stacked two running backs in the same game as well.
Exactly, yeah. He's got the Miami one in there as well. Now, you know, Cook 14.7. I can't remember what price Cook was, though I do remember looking at him in the app. But interesting that he's played A-Chan, because to stack Diggs and Cook, I'm thinking, has he thought, well, I fancy the Bills in this game to be the better team offensively, potentially win the game? You would have potentially expected to see a Dolphins run back, maybe at receiver, but he actually runs it back with A-Chan instead. It's an interesting stack.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And then you've obviously got a couple of one-off pieces there, haven't you, in Courtland Sutton, which was fine. I think Courtland Sutton got in the end zone last week. I can't really remember. And then Austin Hooper, someone that I used in a couple of places last week, just because you had that rookie quarterback in. And we know what rookie quarterbacks want to do. So the Austin Hooper plays is fine by me. I just went to Pat Freiermuth. Again, unfortunately, got the injury there. But yeah, two different lineups there. But I mean, any sort of thoughts from you, Nick, on these two lineups? Like, as we've mentioned, the stacking clearly is a thing that you can do in this app. It clearly works. It's the same sort of thing as DraftKings that way. You definitely have to hit the captain, I think, if they're going to nuke a slate like CMC nuked the slate last week. I will sort of keep, when I keep playing this over the weeks, I'm going to monitor it, see what works best in that captain spot. I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a running back most of the time.
Yeah, a high volume running back at that, and someone that contributes both in the ground game and through the air as well.
Yeah.
Three thoughts I have, Jack. First one is the captain. I mentioned about how important getting the right captain is, given it's double points. With the captain, I mean, what I found with this, and this is kind of one of my other 3 points as well, is the pricing I felt when I was building my lineup on this app compared to DK, where sometimes I feel like I need to put a little bit of a friend, we call them free squares, someone who's quite cheap, might be a little bit highly owned, but do you know what? You plug them in because you can build the rest of your lineup a little nicer when they're in. It didn't feel like you had to get massively different, because the pricing's quite kind, I think, in this app. And
I know I said I locked Puka in every lineup. Obviously, Puka's not in this lineup. I couldn't get to Puka because he was so expensive on this app compared to DraftKings. But that's where these guys are, you know, compared to DraftKings, you know, they're a bit more clever. They've worked the pricing out well. They know who's performing well, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas DraftKings sometimes just, like Nick's mentioned there, you get a free square because they just price someone down like Puka or something. And it's just like, okay. It's like Kyron Williams last week on DraftKings. It was $6,000. It was a lock. It was just the easiest lock ever. It's too cheap.
But it's like the week before when I had the good week, Tank Dell was like 3,600. And it's like, well, obviously I'm going to put him in my lineup at that. Like, it's this free square, free money, free value.
Yeah.
I felt that the pricing was really kind. And for people that are new to DFS as well, I think this app would definitely appeal. I know that Rich only plays like small slates or like small entry fees and stuff, and doesn't play a massive amount of DFS. But you know, this kind of thing might appeal to someone like that because the pricing is kind. And you know, like when you look at both lineups, really, Jack, they're not like, there's no one in there where you'd think, oh yeah, that's a bit of a value pick, that's a bit of a risk. Everyone that's in that lineup had equal opportunity to do well. Granted, some others haven't. The likes of Kelly, and you're a bit unlucky with Waddle, to be fair. You know, first week I had Waddle in my DraftKings as well because I thought he was so much cheaper than Hill. I put Waddle in. I don't know how closely they were priced in this, but you're just unlucky there. Like, I understand completely the theory of putting him in because I did the same thing myself. But the pricing felt really nice. As you said, the stacking, it feels as important in this as it does in, you know, when you're building lineups in DraftKings, we stack. And the stacks in this feel as important. One less wide receiver slot as well. So that's worth bearing in mind when you're building your lineups. And is that what you target in the flex? I probably would more often than not, if I'm being honest. Especially kind like you have with Diggs.
I'd say I will do some bits and pieces on this. I'm going to release a newsletter on this as well, breaking it down, how it works and things like that, some quick tips and things. But I think what you've just said there, for me, is how I'm going to play it. I'm probably going to play the wide receiver in that flex spot, and in the captain spot, it's going to be a running back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think getting the right captain in, you know, like, could then double points are going to be so important. And even if it's the most expensive player in the slate, which I think McCaffrey was this week, you can afford to put him in that captain spot because then double points just make a massive difference. So the other thought I had in mind was with the 5 p.m. lock, the clocks will go back soon. So don't forget, we'll have at least 1 week where that lock will be a 4 p.m. lock.
Well, exactly. Don't get caught out by it. As I say, I got caught out week one by it. And it was, it's a shame, really. But it's the 5 p.m. lock as well. It certainly brings some other things into the equation because, like we had the news the other week, didn't we, with the Rams? And it was like, oh, Cam, it was like 10 minutes before kickoff. It was like, oh, Cam Akers is going to be inactive. Like, what?
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, so if you're playing this app, you wouldn't have been able to change that. So, you know, something to bear in mind. Maybe you need to. If most of the time with NFL, we get that injury news well in advance anyway, don't we? It's normally a couple of hours before minimum. That was a rare occasion. We very rarely see things like that. But, you know, something you're going to have to bear in mind going forward.
Yeah. Be interesting to see this grow as well, because at the moment we've just got that 750 contest. It grows, you'd like to see more contests on there, and I'm sure we will. But yeah, enjoyed it week one, Jack. Looking forward to playing it again in week two. Mistakes were made on my side, but I am going to blame the Corona for that.
and just go and give them a follow on Twitter, @fantasy_gameday. As I said, great bunch of guys, want to do good in the community. I like the app. I like the concept of it. And I had good fun on it week one. That's not just because I won. I actually enjoyed it. And, you know, I was there on Sunday evening watching it all come in live, and I knew, I mean, the guy that won, I you could I could see his team. I was like, this guy's got it in the bag. You know, you can just tell, can't you, in that late window? You're like, he's got it in the bag. He's got the same player as me. That is the one player that's actually going off, and it was CMC. So in that late window, so I was just like, he's done it. That's it. It's game over for me. But yeah, as I say, go and follow them on Twitter at @fantasy_gameday, and they are on Instagram as well. So go and give them a follow over there. Great bunch of guys.
Yeah, nice. Well, we're going to talk about this. I mean, we've spoke about it for about 20 minutes now, but it's the first week we've ever had the privilege of reviewing it. And it is something that we'll talk about every week in smaller segments, because we'll have other stuff that we always talk about like we have today. But we're going to look at this every week and see if strategy evolves, see if the contests evolve. But yeah, going to be good to see it grow. Very exciting news, Jack, for next week. We have, I'm just going to say, the first guest of the season. Mark at this stage feels like a guest, because he's just like, he just pops on every now and then.
I'd be careful what you say.
In fairness, he's probably got a few more in the bag before he catches up to me in terms of missed shows. But really exciting. Next week, we have the very talented Ben Isaacs on, who recently wrote a book about the growth of NFL popularity in the community overall and what's contributed to that. Really looking forward to getting him on, because DFS has played its part in that as well, Jack, and it'd be interesting to listen to the thoughts of someone like Ben, who has written about it, has experienced it, also dabbles in it a little bit himself, probably not to our extent, but he has a little go. Really looking forward to that. Big guest for the first guest appearance of the season.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Like you say, DFS, and you know, it's certainly taken a part in the popularity of the NFL over here in the UK. Fantasy as a whole, really. I mean, 13 years ago now, I started playing NFL fantasy, and it's how I know as much as I do now, really, with the sport. You know, it's how I learned depth charts and things like that, and I've just kept it going and going. If it wasn't for fantasy and then DFS later, I don't think, yeah, well, it certainly wouldn't with me. NFL wouldn't be as popular with me. So,
yeah. And I've no doubt he'll be talking about his book as well when he comes on next week, which is the next thing on my reading list. Looking forward to that, Jack. Nothing else to say from me, so unless there is from you, my friend.
No, just give us a follow on the X, as it's known now, at Touchdowns for Doe. Sign up to the newsletter. I'll get them out again this week. Got a bit slow towards the back end of last week. I was a bit busy, so I didn't get as many out as I wanted to, but I'll be back at it again this week. Golf newsletter out as well for our Putting for Doe show today. So I've been a busy boy today. So.
Did see that. Did see that. Go Europe.
Good
to see them bring it home. And everyone enjoy week 5. Gamble responsibly and all that stuff. Hope you win a lot of money. Let us know on the socials. And we will see you next Tuesday. Mark will be back as well, I think. But for the great Ben Isaacs, join us then. We'll see you next Tuesday.